Good morning, folks. We're a little bit off the normal agenda here. We have a couple of things we want to do first. Anybody know what this month is? I know it's October. Anything else? Pastor appreciation. So, I know Pastor Gary will probably address this a little bit later, but we got to take our senior pastor, at least. We invited our other pastors out for a little golf outing Thursday. Had a great time. Pit temperature like in the 60s, sunny. Couldn't have been better. We had a great time. So, that's wilting on me. You have to go like this. Have to follow it down. But anyway, if you have or have not, if you have not yet, you know, send a card, give a phone call, give a text, you know, take your pastors out to dinner. They'd appreciate anything you could do to show your pastors how much you appreciate them. So, but in light of that, we have some cards for our senior pastor and associate pastors. Pastor Don and Ruth are gone. So Pastor Gary and Jennifer, is Jennifer down here or not? Probably not. Okay. Gary and Jennifer and Dave and Becky, if you would come. Let's show our appreciation this morning for our pastor staff. And again, if you have not had an opportunity, just remind them with a card or a phone call or a text or something to say thank you. If you want to say something, that would be great. Becky, would you like to say something?
Thank you.
Thank you. We do appreciate these guys, don't we?
Yes.
You notice he didn't ask me if I wanted to say anything. He figured I'd get plenty of opportunities before the day's over. I just want to take this moment to say thanks to our staff. They are unpaid staff, and yet they have a call on their lives. They've prepared themselves for ministry, and they have served in many capacities across many years. And so we are blessed to have people who are willing workers to work alongside, because that does make my task much easier, and it makes us a better church. And so thank you to our staff, and thank you for the way that you love and appreciate us. Thank you so much.
Your voice is thunders, the oaks are twisting, the forest sounds with cedars breaking. The waters see you and start their riding. From the depths a song is rising.
welcome to worship. At this time, we'd like for everyone to take their Connect card from their bulletin and begin to fill it out. If you don't have a card or a pen or pencil, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. The front of the card has a place for your name and other important information like a current email address and phone number. You might ask, why do I need to fill out a Connect card? We believe there are several great reasons why you should. One, this assists us in acknowledging your presence here today and following up on our absentees. Two, our Connect card provides us with constantly updated information on you regulars, so you won't miss any communications from the office during the week. Three, the box you check on the left front will tell us if you are visiting, and we can respond to your visit and supply future communication. We really want to thank our visitors for coming and invite them to return. Four, on the back of the card, you can request any desired information about us and let us know about things we can join you in prayer for as you encounter life this week. We really appreciate you taking time to do this for us, and we hope to connect with you soon and hope you will come and connect with us again in future services and events. Thanks again, and may God bless you as we continue to connect with Him this morning.
Well, good morning. How is everyone?
Great.
Y'all look really good. Looks like we're missing a few, but we're really not. The teens are having a camp out. They've had their annual teen family camp out this weekend. So Cody and 11 of the teens are out camping this morning. So we're missing them, but we know that they're having a good time. Cody shared some pictures of the camp out, and the one that stood out the most to me was some of them are sleeping in hammocks. And to me, that would just be the coldest thing. But I hear it's warmer than actually sleeping on the ground. So hopefully they're all having a good time, staying warm, and doing all right this morning. But we want to say welcome to those of you that are here this morning. We've got a few announcements that I need to get to. First one being small groups. I've been mentioning this for the past several weeks. Tonight we are having a joint small group at John and Christy Henley's house. So inside your bulletin, you'll see this really awesome map. Can you guys read it, see it very well? If you can't, on the back side is some written directions for you. I will tell you, if you follow these verbatim, you're going to run into a little bit of road construction along the way. But if you have GPS, type this in. Hopefully you guys can get there tonight at 6 o'clock. They are going to have chili and drinks provided. They are asking that the rest of us bring some side dishes and some desserts. So, Christy, anything you want to add? Hot dogs? So, yep, yeah. Hootentown. Oh, yeah. Those of you that are very familiar with Nixon know where Hootentown is. But that's at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to encourage everyone to come out, be a part of that fellowship. During that time, we'll have food, fellowship, devotion, and hopefully get to share a little bit about what our small groups are doing and what the future has to hold for that. Continue on with announcements. Next Sunday will be a special service. We're going to have a ministry fair during service, but then directly following service, we'll have our monthly celebration potluck luncheon. So be prepared to save for that. Bring some food, and we'll celebrate birthdays and anniversaries like we always do. Trunk or Treat is just a couple short weeks away. We will be hosting here at the church from 6 to 8. Try to be here by 5:30, 5:45. In place out here on the parking lot. I asked Sue before service started. She said there have been several of you that have brought candy by and dropped it off at the office. That is great. We can always use more. So you've got a couple weeks to get that turned in if you'd like to help out with that. Then upcoming special events, take a look at these. Be in prayer over some of these items that we've got coming up in the future. So thank you.
Just to give you an idea of where Precious lives, we go across a very big bridge, and then we come into this neighborhood that is a poor section of town. Precious would have to do whatever her mother says so that her family can eat. I mean, that, after all, is how she's going to be able to have food. It wasn't a coincidence that she saw us that day. It wasn't a coincidence that we happened to see her. These connections, they happen because God's working. This church making the connection with her and with other children as well. There is the hope. She is precious in God's sight. God loves her.
The ushers will prepare. We want to receive the morning offering this morning. Giving is what we do. There are so many ways to do it. I know it seems like we're just always asking for money or telling you how you can give money or to what you can give money. The truth of the matter is, in the United States of America, money makes things happen. And it's our system. It's what we do. And if we're going to help other people, then that's what happens. And so we ask you to give that portion that God has asked for and to return. We ask you to give offerings. We have the military Bible sticks that we'll continue to receive for until the middle of November on Veterans Day. And so you can give any amount of money, but it takes about $25 per military Bible stick. Those go to active duty people, and then their families receive an email by which they can get a free MP3 download of the scriptures in their homes on their computers, And so it's a very great project. We encourage you to do that. We remind you, we are very quickly coming upon the Thanksgiving season. And so we once again are participating with our Ministerial Alliance in the privilege of helping with the food distribution that's done through Least of These. And so if you want to give an amount to cover a turkey or several turkeys, it's $10 per turkey to put turkeys in those meals. And then the meals themselves, the whole bag, which has the sides to go along with the turkey and everything, an entire bag, is about $20. So 10 will buy a turkey, 20 will buy the whole bag. They distribute about 900 of those last year. They figure to distribute about 1,000 this year. The need continues to grow. And so they will be distributing those on the Saturday before Thanksgiving week. And they'll be putting those bags together at the Least of These new distribution center over in Ozark on the Thursday night before that Saturday. And you can go there and volunteer and help out. But it's a very worthy cause. And so if you want to donate money towards helping Least of These with the Thanksgiving distribution, put an amount of money, write turkeys on it, and we'll see that it gets where it's supposed to go. If you want to donate something toward the Military Bible Sticks, you can do that. You continue to contribute weekly to the work of the church, and you contribute from time to time to special funds that we have that are benevolent funds, the Attic Fund, which is all things in common and helps people inside the church. That helps us help each other. The RAC Fund is Random Acts of Kindness. You see those funds in your bulletin posted each week. That's Random Acts of Kindness. Those are things that we do to the outside community. When you give, we can give. Let me give you an example. We always try to be very discreet and confidential about a lot of the requests that come in and things that happen. Just in the last couple of weeks, Chrissy happened to end up at a place, someone's home one night that just happened to be the wrong place at the wrong time. The police raided that house. They arrested everyone in the house. And so Chrissy spent some time in jail. Because you give, we were able to post bail to get Chrissy out of jail. But while Chrissy was in jail, she came this morning. She said, "Hey, you remember that Bible you gave me?" And it was like, "Yeah." And she said, "Can I have another one?" She said, "I gave mine away while I was in jail." Yeah, it is awesome. Folks, that's what we are. We're the hands and feet of Jesus every day of our lives. And I don't apologize for telling you what God has asked you to do. He has blessed you with the capacity to earn a living. It's His money. Your life is His. Everything is His. And so we give back that portion that He's asked for, and that enables us to minister to others. And Chrissy, we're glad you're here, you and Chase, and Kelly is kind of the connecting factor there. And Kelly, we're glad you're here. We're working on the possibility. There's some of our young people who are interested in baptism, some of our older folks that are interested in baptism. We're working right now on the possibility of having a baptism service the night we have Thanksgiving supper. I can't think of a better way to give thanks than for people to testify to their connection to Jesus Christ. And so if you're interested in baptism, please come and talk to me. We'll be trying to put that together just in the very immediate future. But thank you for your giving. Your giving is what enables us sometimes during the week when we don't have time to ask all your permission to go on the authority that the board has given to us to respond to needs in our church and in our community. So thank you for being obedient to God in what you do. If our ushers will come, we want to receive the offering this morning.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for each and every one here. Bless those who are sick. Bless those who couldn't be here. Ask that you would bless this offering now. Pray that we go for thy intended use. We'll ask all these things in thy name. Of your mighty
search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. Oh,
Light this candle. What's it mean when we light this candle?
Somebody got saved.
Well, that somebody is Chrissy's son, Chase. Chance. I'm sorry. Too many things to remember. My old mind is not carrying it well. And Chance came, it's been like, what, two, three weeks ago? When we had the service at One Life, Kelly texted me that afternoon and said, "Can we come to the service?" Well, yeah, and we need to talk to you. And so I talked to them just a little bit before the service while we were up at One Life. And Chance said that he had accepted Jesus Christ in the course of one of the services. He's seven, is that right? Nine. Too many kids around here. I can't keep up with them all. 9 years old. That's a good problem. Thank you, Amber. That's right. And that's two of our young people who have prayed to receive Jesus Christ just because of you worshiping And because of us proclaiming the word and doing what God has asked us to do when we gather together. And so, Chrissy, there's a bick there. And you press the top button forward and pull the back trigger back. And the angels in heaven rejoice when somebody gives their heart to Christ. And so we need to whoop and holler a little bit and get in on the celebration. Thank you, Chrissy. We're so glad you're here. Be praying for Chrissy. She has ruptured an Achilles tendon. And for any of you who have had that, that's a very painful experience. And she's waiting to see whether she's going to need surgery or those kinds of things. We're going to pray for her today. She won't have to have surgery. So pray for God to heal that thing. Because that's how the God I serve, that's how He is. I know that some of you attended James River's Design for Life conference. I just feel like there's some overflow. And we're getting the blessing off of that. I was in Houston, Missouri yesterday to preach the funeral service of one of my cousins who was more like an aunt to me. Matter of fact, she was my first grade teacher for the first semester of my educational career. She took me to school every day to a one-room, eight-grade schoolhouse where she taught. And then she taught for many, many years, 40 years total in her career in the Houston school system. But I missed the birthday by 10 days, and so she took me there, and then I was able to transfer into Ava. So she had a lot of impact and influence on my life, and it was a real privilege and honor to be able to lead that service. So I'm just kind of in the overflow of that. And then I had some conversations over the weekend with some people just talking about being obedient to the Lord, and I get pretty excited when people start talking about doing what Jesus tells them to do. And I get pretty heartbroken when I realize maybe I haven't done everything I was supposed to do. But we serve a God who's gracious and loving and forgiving and empowering. And so we come to this place and this point in the service on purpose because we want to. Because we believe prayer is significant. We believe there's a God in heaven who knows our needs and wants to bring blessing into our lives. And so these altars are open to you this morning. And perhaps you were a part of that conference, or perhaps God's done some really other really cool things in your life, got you out of jail maybe, I don't know. And we just need to praise Him a little bit. But maybe also you're carrying a heavy load. Maybe there's a sick family member. You're going through some financial difficulties, or indeed you're just going through some depression and you don't even know why. Maybe the enemy's just been on you. I'm telling you, God's got the answer to everything. And so here's a place. Jesus said, come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So whatever it is that's heavy, lay it down and leave it there. And whatever it is that's light and needs to be lifted up, give God the praise and glory. We continue to pray over many things. We want to remember Linda Lewis this morning, who is recovering from surgery. We want to remember Lonnie Groves, who's recovering from surgery this morning in particular. Daryl? All right. Praise the Lord. That's good. Thank you, Daryl. Chrissy, we want to join you in prayer. I don't know who this young lady was that you gave this Bible to, but I pray that the Word of God will pierce her heart and soul. And we're going to pray that whoever she is, that God will speak to her heart. Thank you for being obedient and being willing to give instead of take. Even in the midst of, you know, I remember a guy in the Bible named Paul who spent a lot of time in prison when he wasn't supposed to be there. Chrissy said to me, she said, it's okay if I was supposed to be in there just to do this thing. It's okay. That, you know, there's a lot of people who just say, if the system doesn't treat me right, I'm going to be bitter about it. I'm going to be mad at somebody. Somebody's going to pay. That's not what Chrissy said to me. Just God put me there to give that Bible to that other person who didn't know Jesus. Folks, that's what we're here for. This world and this life is not about us. It's about being vessels so God can win his children. He wants them all to go. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But they have to make that choice on their own. We can't make it for them. But we can sure try to influence them by being Jesus as best we can. So let's stand together. We're going to sing. The altars are open. If you have need of them, praise or petition, whatever it might be, you find a place of prayer.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs.
Father, we are so unworthy in and of ourselves, but the blood of Jesus Christ has given us the entrance into the throne room of God. And so we come according to Scripture, to prayer, and enter that throne room with confidence and boldness that our Father wants us to crawl up in his lap and tell us what's going on. Oh, it's not just about I need this and I need that, although we can share our needs. But it's also about thank you for, and you've been a blessing in this way and that way. Thank you for the people that you brought into my lives that have reminded me of the things I need to know about you. We are here today, God, to praise and worship you. Mold our hearts, shape our hearts, open our minds and our spirits so we can be completely obedient. Lord, we come because we're unable to fix our own situations, but we know that you are the fix. So, Lord, we come to confess our weaknesses, our frailties, and even our sins to you this morning. And to say, we need your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. We need that plan where you put Jesus on the cross and shed his blood as the atonement for our sins. We receive that this day. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for staying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for loving your brothers and sisters enough to take the lead and do what it takes to do what we could not do for ourselves. Thank you, Father, for inspiring men to record the history, to write down the impressions and the inspirations that you gave them so that we might have a guidebook for life. And thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Father, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit couldn't come until you left. So as much as we'd like to have you here, thank you for going back to heaven to watch over us and intercede for us. We need that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us and convicts us and empowers us and is God to us in this age. We just come, Father, this morning to open our hearts and minds to you and to say we want to be obedient to your direction. Father, thank you for setting the captives free, physically and spiritually, mentally and emotionally. Thank you, Lord, for always being here when we come. For always being wherever we are. And Lord, we come this morning yielding to you this list that's printed in our bulletin of prayer requests. Lord, we know there's some here this morning who might know the name of Jerry Applegate. Jerry has texted me. We were supposed to connect on a piece of sound equipment that he needs for his church. But he is here. His wife's mother is in the last hours of her life. And I promised him that we would pray for his family. And Lord, I pray that you would bless my cousins. And thank you that yesterday was not a time of heavy grief, but it was a time of celebration and appreciation for a life that was well lived in faith. Lord, I would be so honored if you would help me that when I die, people would say some nice things about me like they did about her. And I pray that the one thing above all that can be said is that I loved you with all of my heart and I was obedient to you and your word. So Lord, help me to be able to illuminate that truth to the lives of as many people as possible while I'm here. Thank you for this church and the opportunity to serve. Thank you for the appreciation that has been given to my family and to our staff this month. Lord, it's not just this month, it's all year long. Thank you for this church, these people that make it up. Bless their families. May they feel appreciated. May they feel loved. Even in the midst of heaviness and trial, and challenges of life. Now, Lord, bless in the furtherance of this service as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray. It's in your name we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Otherwise, I probably would be at home somewhere. Would be in the house I live in now. I wouldn't probably know any of you except my sister Sue. My children. Just the fact that I know Jesus has given to me an awful lot of wonderful friends, great relationships, has fed my family. In trying to be obedient to God, God has given me the opportunity to take care of my family and provide for their physical needs, spiritual needs. I might be watching TV or I might be doing yard work or any number of other things, and I would not have been in the presence of this great Spirit if I didn't know Jesus. So I'm going to try to get to know him better, and I'm going to do my best to try to tell as many other people that I think they ought to know Jesus too. We all, I think, try to do our best at whatever we're doing. I feel like we do most of the time. But I think we also realize that as long as we're on this earth and in this life, that we can improve wherever we're at. We can improve. And so I want to kind of piggyback a little bit off of the stewardship message on giving our time and our talents. And I want to talk about improving our serve. And I'm also, to be quite honest, the Lord gave me permission to kind of preface what next week will be about. Next Sunday morning is not one of those Sunday mornings where we're doing something different, so you should be somewhere else. Next Sunday morning is about the life and the future of our church, so you should be here. We will do a ministry fair. It will be the service next Sunday. Will there be praise and worship as a part of it? Yes, there will be. But there will not be a preacher preaching a sermon. I may say a few words, but most of the words that will be spoken by your peers who lead ministries in this church. But also a good portion of that time will be, there will be some tables, maybe other things. I have no idea what all they're going to bring in as they prepare their promotion. But next Sunday will be about not just hearing about it, but doing it. Next Sunday will be about learning about ministry opportunities in our church and then committing to serve. Because I've said this recently, I'm going to say it again. I don't think there ought to be anybody attending this church that's not involved in a ministry of some kind somehow. Nobody's got a free ride. God expects you to be involved. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7 reads this way: serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. So don't let people get in the way. Don't let your opinion about other people get in your way. Because I promise you, the devil will try to make other people in your church get in your way. He'll try to get you to surmise. The devil loves assumption. The devil loves for you to assume stuff instead of getting the facts. A lot of times when we should just go to someone in particular and ask them, we don't. We assume we might know, or we go to somebody that we think might know and get a third-party opinion, which is usually a horrible idea, instead of just going to the source and taking care of things. And so we want to get involved. We want to make ourselves available to God. We want to become that person. How many of you have heard the phrase, practice makes perfect? So do something. You can't practice by doing nothing. There is no practice to that. We need to get involved. I was reading this past week as I was preparing, and I ran across this. Most of you are familiar, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you're familiar with the name D.L. Moody, who had Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. D.L. Moody was a great preacher. He wrote the following words next to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 in his Bible. How many of you know what Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 says? Here am I, send me. This is what D.L. Moody wrote. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. That's the attitude with which we ought to approach this idea of Christian service. And interestingly enough, while I was reading that and researching, I ran across this quote, which was not attributed to anybody in particular, but somebody said this because they put it in black and white in writing. Every church is filled with willing people. You think that's true? Filled. Every church is filled. Not every church has some willing people. Every church is filled with willing people. You think that's true? You will when I finish reading the sentence. Every church is filled with willing people. Some willing to work, and others willing to let them. Everybody ought to be in the willing to work crew, not just the willing to let others do the work for them crew. I want us to think about this idea that the title Improving Your Serve comes from one of my favorite authors, and to be quite honest, one of the preachers that I enjoy listening to probably as much as any preacher when I listen to preachers, a guy named Charles Swindoll. And he wrote a book entitled Improving Your Serve. And so as I was thinking about some of the comments that you have made to me about the stewardship series that was recently preached, and as I thought about the challenge of the ministry fair that will happen next Sunday, and how much I want everyone to come and be involved, I would just love for every person who calls this church home to show up next week. We'd have about 300 people, and we just can't seem to get them all here at the same time. I'd love to get them all here at the same time, but for those of you who are showing up today, I want to challenge you to improve your serve. I want to challenge you to think about what does God want me to be doing in and through the church? The church is not the same as our personal relationship to God, but I believe that the church is the place that God has ordained. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'll get past the beginning here if I go on to that. But here's what we need to realize. It starts in the mind. If we're going to improve our serve, we have to change our mindset. Charles Swindoll wrote in his book, Improving Our Serve, Improving Your Serve, he wrote these words: thinking right always precedes acting right. Thinking right always precedes acting right. So we need to get our heads together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks to us about becoming living sacrifices, and it challenges us to do that through our mind being transformed. You're familiar with it if you've been around church at all. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And there's kind of a twofold thing here, because the truth of the matter is, we can get some of the right things in our head, but if we're going to get them out into activity, we got to stop that conforming thing. Because sometimes we can get it right up here, but we have enough stuff kind of between there and the actual action that we fall back into conforming to public opinion and popular opinion and peer pressure and all those kinds of things, rather than doing what we know to do because it's the right thing to do no matter what anybody else does. So in order to improve our serve, we have to get our mind right. And literally, this is not something that we just have to say, oh God, I pray that you'll make my mind right. There is some intentional effort on our part with God's help. Can we do it by ourselves? No. Will we do it by ourselves? No, but I'm telling you, it's not something God's just going to automatically make happen without you thinking about it. It's in your mind, right? You got to think about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 5 reads like this. Matter of fact, I think it needs to be, and Justin, I apologize because I'm looking here. Oh, it would help if I get in the right book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Here we go. We're getting away from the world's thinking again. That'll get you, that'll take you to hell. If you live like the world thinks, you will not get to heaven. Amen? Man, y'all were just like totally silent. If you think like this world, you're not going to get to heaven. expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen closely. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When we think in the natural realm, when we think as the world thinks, we think prejudiced instead of objective. Because we bring our corrupted nature and the things that we have been prejudiced by, and we don't see through the eyes of Christ, we see through our own eyes, and so we think prejudiced instead of objective. We focus on the visible, not the invisible, because we have no perception of the invisible realm if we're not connected to God. We rely on human strength and not divine power. Do you understand that we are able to do what we do not just on our own power, but when we're doing the right thing is we got the help of God? We listen to men instead of to God. How far will that get you? And we perceive things superficially rather than deeply when we go on natural thinking. We need to have our minds renewed and transformed. Listen to the thought that Jesus taught his disciples while they were here on this earth, and he was trying to help them. They were going through some challenging times. In Luke 22, verses 24 through 27, also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." He's changing their mindset. He's taking them away from the idea of, I want to achieve some place where everybody serves me, and I'm in charge telling everybody else what to do. And he's saying, if you want to be great, serve. He went on to exemplify it in basically the same situation, seen from another perspective, the perspective of John, in John chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, when he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You will be blessed if you serve. You'll be blessed if you wash feet. What he's saying was, don't ever get so high on your high horse that you can't do something to help somebody else out. Jesus had the ability, and I realize it was a different time and culture that he lived in, but if you stop and look at the life of Jesus, Jesus could do anything he wanted to. He chose to live a simple life, and he chose to allow himself to be interrupted to respond to the needs of others along the way. I'm still working on that. Because I wake up every morning and I think I've got a plan. I think I've got a list of things I've got to get accomplished. This is the expectation. This is what my job is supposed to be. This is what life is supposed to look like. I'm going to go to church, do this, and invariably somebody will come through the door and will need something. And, you know, I've got two choices. I can either say, sit down and tell me what's going on, or I can say, I don't have time for you. I've got stuff to do. Sometimes we let stuff get more important than people. And it's not a real good way to live. You get the point then. We need to reshape our thinking. We need to think differently than the world thinks. We need to quit thinking of success as in achievement and accumulation of possession and the more people that I can give command to. And we need to think, how can I take whatever God has given me, whatever position, whatever possession, whatever, and how can I use that to be a blessing to other people and point them toward God. So in order to get to that place, that brings us to the second point this morning, which is Christ must be the head. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but we, you know, it goes back to the thing that we talked about in those stewardship sermons about God being the owner of things. He's in charge of everything. And the Scripture gives us this concept over and over. I read to you just a couple of passages this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the first part of the verse says this: "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ." The head of every man is Christ. The head. Who's in charge? God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Jesus is supposed to be the head. The head is the control center, the thinking part. That's where everything comes from. It's where everything operates from. Jesus Christ needs to be the head in our lives. And here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." You know what's scary? I was reading this past week. In the early 1990s, I don't remember hearing about this. In the early 1990s, several university professors passed out copies of the Ten Commandments to students and asked them to arrange the commandments in order of importance, as if they shouldn't have known God already did that. Over 90%, this is college-age kids in the 90s, over 90% of the students rearranged the commandments and placed the commandments dealing with man's relationship with his fellow man above the commandments dealing with man's relationship to God. So we need to understand that we have, this goes back to the first point, it starts in your mind. These guys aren't thinking right. The people in the 90s, do you think about this? 20 years ago, where are those people now? The leaders of America. They're corporate officers. They're politicians. They're people who are leading our nation, and 90% of them said what's going on horizontally here is more important than what's going on vertically. They got it wrong. Christ must be the head. And our mind that sits in that head must be renewed and transformed to think like he thinks, not to think like the pattern of this world. And when we get those things right, then we must find our place. We as Christians need to say, what are we supposed to be doing? Well, here's what I want you to understand. I believe that the Bible shows that the church is God's ordained organization on the face of this earth. It is the place through which he has chosen to headquarter launching ministry. Now, every individual believer is a minister. That's New Testament theology. And we all have a responsibility to share our faith and the gospel with people that we come in contact with. But the church as a corporate entity is something that God has ordained and given credence to all along the way. I'm just going to touch base with a couple of things here. But if you look in the book of Acts, and you get into Acts chapter 2, you'll be reminded in Acts chapter 2 in verse 46 that it says this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. There was regular gathering at a place that was the place of worship, the place of hearing the scripture, the place of they did that on a daily basis in the beginning of the New Testament church. And we find then that it's recorded in the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 10 and verse 25, that he has indeed given us some more direction when he says, "Let us not give up meeting together." Now, if you think there's something new going on, you got another thing coming. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Brand new church. The New Testament church. And they're already finding reasons not to show up. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. How are you going to encourage anybody if you're not here? And I realize there's exceptions to the rule, so I'm trying to be legalistic, hardcore. There's never any exception. But you know what one of the most disheartening things to a pastor is to have somebody new walk into church and say, so-and-so invited me here. Where are they? Well, I don't know. I thought they would be here. During revival, several years ago, an individual came, knelt at this altar right here, gave their heart to the Lord. They were an adult. And so they were excited to have received Christ. And that happened on a revival time. And they attended the next Sunday. And they showed up on Wednesday night then for regular prayer meeting and Bible study. And we were standing right back there, just beside where Nate is sitting now, on the outside of the sound booth. And I actually had my arm on the side of the sound booth. I remember this very clearly on a Wednesday night. And this individual, who was a newly saved Christian, walked in and looked around. He's standing right there, then said to me, as before service started, "Where is everybody?" When I asked you what to do, you said I should attend the services of the church. Here I am. Where's everybody else? We have to be very cautious about allowing the world to shape our thought process about the significance of being in God's house when the doors are open, at the place that He's appointed me to be a part of. I'm not going to go legalistic on you here. I'm just saying, spend a little time thinking about that. Because the bottom line is, we need to plug in. I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. I believe every person ought to be involved in at least one ministry of the church. Ought to be actively serving in some place. The book of Colossians says this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by commission from God to present to you the word of God in its fullness." I believe God commissions his children to work through his church. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, we read this scripture back when we were talking about serving. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Serving each other, I believe it launches from the church. But I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. There are challenges to serving. And the bottom line is, if you serve and you're serving God, oftentimes, man will not appreciate you in the way you'd like to be appreciated. That's why you have to remember you're serving God, not man. And God has already told you, if I give you your reward here, you won't get it in heaven. So if you're not getting any reward here, that's because God's saving it up for you when you get there. And if you don't like that idea, then remember this. It says we get crowns. And it says we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. So if you don't collect your crowns down here, guess who gets to spend more time at the feet of Jesus while other people wait in line? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown to him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Men don't always remember to be appreciative. God doesn't forget. He's got it recorded. And you're due, you'll get it when the time and place is appropriate. So what we got to do, we've got to be careful that in serving that we don't become a bitter, and we just got to know that sometimes when we try to speak to people, when we try to challenge people with the truth, they're not always going to receive that well, and that there's possible times that we could be disrespected and that people will have resentment toward us because we're trying to share the truth to them. Let's just make sure that we do it biblically, that we're always doing it in a kind way, in a way that that lets them know that we love them and care about them. And second Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 20 through 26, it says this. 24 through 26, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. So you've got scriptural directive that you're supposed to do the right thing whether anybody else does or not. And that pretty much applies to every area of our lives. Just know that when you serve, some people will see you as a server or as a slave, and they will not appreciate you in the way that you would like to be appreciated and rewarded. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, verses 18 through 21. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. He knows. He's got the record. He understands our situation. Billy Bray was a Cornish miner who accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior in 1823 at the age of 29. He lived a life of drunkenness and debauchery before his salvation, but he became such an outgoing witness and testimony for God that he became known as God's glad man. One time he was digging potatoes from his garden and felt the devil oppressing him. It seemed to him that the devil said, Billy Bray, God doesn't love you. If he did, he wouldn't give you such puny potatoes and so few. But Billy Bray didn't listen to the devil's temptation. He talked back to him. He said, I served you long and true, devil, and no better servant could a master ever have than I was to you. But when I served you, you didn't give me any potatoes. When I served you, you didn't give me anything good for my efforts. Billy Bray reminded himself that the burden he had serving Christ was lighter than the one he had had serving the devil. The yoke that he wore in partnership with and submission to Jesus was easier than the yoke he wore as one of the devil's disciples. Billy Bray once said, I would rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without Jesus. For hell with Jesus would seem like heaven to me, and heaven without Jesus would seem like hell. Whatever you do, go with Jesus. Just know that men are imperfect. They're not always going to appreciate. But know that God is perfect, and everything that you do for him in his name is recorded, and you will be rewarded at the appropriate time and place. So do not grow weary in well-doing, but offer yourselves unconditionally in full surrender, and know that you will be paid more than you're worth when the time comes. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we're here today just prepping ourselves. Some of us are already in the harnesses. We thank you for that. And nothing that any man ever said is more important than what you said in the Word of God, but some things correspond and parallel relatively well. And historically, there's a quote that we recognize, Father, and we think it's a great quote. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And Lord, that ought to be the way we are about church, and that ought to be the way that we are about Christ's body and the kingdom of God. Ask not what God's going to do for me, because he's already done more than we deserve, but what can we do for him? Lord, help us to be participants and to quit being spectators. Lord, as we go from this place today, we pray that you would help us to realize that tonight we have the opportunity to go to Christian John's and to learn about small groups, and if we're not participating, to become a participant. We have the opportunity next Sunday morning to be a part of this ministry fair, to hear from our peers who are leading ministry in the church, trying to do kingdom work in this local situation. And Lord, we will have the opportunity to learn more about those things by talking to those leaders at their various places. And we have the opportunity to sign up and say, I'm willing to serve from here on. And so, Father, just help us to pray this week and let you speak to our hearts and our minds. Help us to get our minds right about serving and about who's in charge. And Lord, help us then to honor you with obedience by doing whatever it is that you ask of us to do. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We owe you our lives. So give us guidance through your Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it, and all God's people.